Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we are live on LA Talk Radio, Effective Communications with the famous and wonderful Dr. Pat Allen. Our call-in number, 323-203-0815. So get your dialing fingers going. And Dr. Allen, you are live on the air.
Thank God, alive on the air.
Oh, yeah. So, how's your
world,
day?
That's a miracle.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. But we're positive. Change is in the air.
Yes,
and here we go.
Yes, it is.
We're coming up on fall and our birthday, so heck with it.
Yes, mine is the 21st and yours is what?
The 23rd.
23rd.
Happy yeah.
Happy birthday to both of us.
Amen. Hey, we've got a caller. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hey, happy birthday, ladies.
Yes. How are we, but okay.
I was just calling a question I had about relationships, and specifically, how do you know if somebody is being, like, basically a narcissist in a relationship, as in a codependency, or can there be two codependents, or
it works? Relationship is not a relationship until you've known somebody one solid year. The first
sure.
3 months are when people pretend they're normal. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the next 3 months, the slippage for mistakes and character defects blurb out. But they're just accidents, and you hope that's all they are.
Sure.
The third 3 months, reality strikes. Would you please raise your right hand?
Yes.
I promise. Never. Will I commit? To a finite, fallible human being.
To a finite, fallible human being.
Instead, I will commit to the relationship.
I will commit to the relationship.
With a finite, fallible human being.
With a finite, fallible human being.
I will do my half of the relationship.
I will do my half of the relationship.
And I hope to God he or she does their half.
And I hope to God he or she does their half.
I realize. That the only way I know I love myself or anyone else.
Is the commitments
I'm willing to make and keep for 9 to 12 months. Now, do you understand that? You don't know anybody till you've known them a year.
I see that.
Okay. And the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is if you make and keep your agreements and they do theirs.
Right.
As soon as people don't do their commitments, their narcissism, which is they want respect and cherishing equally, which means they want to be a 10 and you be a 0, and that's called a codependent relationship.
Right.
Okay?
How do you identify it if you are... If you're in one of those, but you don't realize it, is there a way to identify it?
Well, you identify somebody that doesn't make and keep their agreements.
Okay.
Have you ever had a narcissist for a boyfriend, or are you a lesbian, a girlfriend? Everything I teach is scientifically geared to every human being, straight, gay, or lesbian.
Sure.
So have you ever been in a codependent relationship?
Yes, I've been in them before, but I think at the time that I'm in it, I don't realize it. And then later on, it's like things start happening where I'm like, this is a red flag.
That's the second 3 months, and for sure... The third 3 months. You know people.
I'm in the fourth. Okay.
You're in the fourth 3 months?
With my relationship. And then there's just some things that have been coming out, like, that we have issues on. And I'm looking at myself, too, because I don't want to just place all the blame on him
I don't want you to place blame on him. I want you...
Right.
To notice, do you make and keep your agreements?
There was a big issue that arose, which was where I did not keep the agreement, and that's where one of our main issues arose out of, because I have a friend who's a male, and that friend kept reaching out to me, and I told my partner that I would tell him to stop reaching out to me because it made him uncomfortable. That I had this male friend, and I never had a relationship with this male, but I did have slight feelings for him a long, long time ago, but I just remained friends with him and we've never been sexual. So I thought it was okay. And he said no. And so I told him I would not talk to him, and I never did talk to him. All I did was just ignore him, but he was upset because I told him I would tell him not to call me, and I never did that. But then
you didn't keep the agreement to tell him.
But then I did later on. I corrected the problem.
You did what?
Oh, I corrected the problem now, but he's still very upset about it. So.
Okay, and he is now your husband, boyfriend. What is he?
Fiance.
He's what?
My fiance.
He's your fiance. So has he got a resentment against you for that particular break in trust?
I believe he may have. He does. He's still mad about it. So I believe so.
Is it a deal breaker for him? Are you going to be tortured for the rest of your relationship?
I told him I was sorry and that I would never do that again, and that it was an honest mistake. And he said that.
No, I'm talking about you are already still feeling his anger.
Yes.
Do you want to confront his anger?
Well, when I do, it just leads to another argument. So I don't want to create an argument.
So it gets bigger.
Yes.
Okay. That is either a narcissist. They want respect and equally, and you get to be zero. He doesn't do that. Is that true?
Are you asking me if he does do that?
He does. He makes you say, I'm going to go to the show with my girlfriends. He doesn't take fingerprints and hire detectives.
Kind of. Well, I mean, the problem is, I was
the problem
okay
is
myself,
you but... proved to be human, but you haven't dealt with it with him.
Right. Well, yeah, we've already argued about it, and you know, but it still feels like it's an issue that will continue to, because he's done this before in other issues where it comes into the next argument where we talk about it, and then there's all these comparisons with the past, and it's confusing to me. So I'm just,
Do you want to die, please?
Do I want to what?
Do you want to die early?
No.
Then stop producing cortisol.
Okay, I want to stop doing that. It's definitely very stressful.
So are you willing?
Can you help me?
I'm wanting to help you. Now, you asked about, you know, how do you know
Thank
you're
you.
With the right person? So the second form of this kind of rage is basically he doesn't want to. Do you want to be cherished or respected in your relationship with him?
Cherished first.
Does he cherish you, or does this issue interfere with his cherishing you?
Well, that issue definitely interferes with the cherishing, because,
he does cherish you?
He does, yes. He does cherish me. I feel he does. He's very loving and sweet and giving and protecting and cherishing.
When does he have an attack of narcissism?
It seems like when I want to do something on my own or have some, like, I wanted to go to the gym, and he, like, had a different idea of what we were going to do, and he was very passive aggressive when I said that, but it was like, then we ended up talking about it and having an argument about other things, you know.
Okay. Now, I'm going to be the new you. Oh, I think I want to give the other two things. Narcissism is wanting to be a 10 and the other person a 0. Got that one?
Yes.
Then there's another one called sociopath. That's a person who wants to be with you because of who your family is, or what would be the advantage of having you in his corner. That's a sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a psychopath. And a psychopath is somebody that wants to show how crazy you were and are.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have any symptoms of those three things? He's got a narcissistic attitude towards your life. You will now grovel for your life. Is that what I hear?
Yeah, it feels like that a lot. I have been feeling like that more and more.
Do you have any sign of sociopath? Is he with you for family?
I don't think
so. Are you a rich girl and he's a poor guy? Is there anything he's doing that is based on your family and money?
No. He's not a really big fan of a lot of my family members. Like, he doesn't like their influence in my life. which also is kind of a red flag. But I don't believe it's with he's with me because of my family or anything.
Okay. So you don't have that.
More money
so
than I did.
To have is narcissism. He wants to be respected and cherished by you, especially when you want to do things that are pleasurable to you, but interrupt his life.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly.
Okay. Are you ready to go to crisis?
I think that's right.
When are you getting married, by the way?
Well, we have been postponing it because, unfortunately, he's actually still married. He's separated, but the divorce keeps getting postponed on and on and on. So
he's not single?
Not on paper.
Well, that's the only place that you're married is on paper. Men marry on paper. Women marry when their penis goes in the mouth, anus, or vagina. We produce chemistry, oxytocin, that basically glues you to somebody you're in love with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Are you in love, bonded to this human being?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, so you have good sex when you have it.
Yes, very good.
But when you cross him, it goes away. Is that correct?
We usually have makeup sex, so that's always good. But we definitely are not affectionate when we're upset with each other.
You're less sex or more sex or the same sex?
Well, it's the same amount of sex because he can't not have
okay,
sex.
Okay, so your chemistry is so good that it keeps you attached. A lot of people are as good mad as they are happy because their bodies like each other even when they don't like each other.
Right.
Is this worth fighting over?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Then are you willing to write a hi-bye letter, not to leave him, but to share your amends for making the mistake that created this? Are you willing to divulge your side of the story to him in order to see if he can, I don't use the word forgive, God forgives, accepts you. There's only three things you can do with people. You can accept them, you can reject them, but don't ever tolerate them. You are being tolerated. Do you feel it?
When he's angry, when he's upset with me, yeah. He tries to make it, he tries to act happy, but I know he's not.
Do you understand that when you get upset chronically like this, that you produce a chemistry called cortisol?
Oh, yes.
Do you know what cortisol, what do you do for a living?
Well, right now I'm being a stay-at-home mom with the kids.
She's a what?
A stay-at-home mom with the kids.
Oh, she was okay. So that's who she was, but was she skilled in the medical profession?
No, I am currently a stay-at-home mom for 4 kids.
Okay. So with that in mind, cortisol is good in a little dose because it's an upper, like a dopamine upper, but overdoing it ruins your T cells, which are immunity, catching things.
Or it
strips your nerves of myelin, which is a kind of a plastic coating on your nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or, let's see, what's the first thing? Strips of nerves, it basically limits your ability to stay healthy.
Right.
So what I'm going to do now is give you the structure of a high buy letter with this in mind, making an amends to him for making a mistake back then, you know, when you did your little trade-off thing,
mm-hmm.
and a statement of the pain that you feel based on the doghouse you're in, because I'll just call it your doghouse, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what would it take for him to accept you? What do you have to do to terminate your jail sentence?
Right? Right.
And you don't have to threaten him with leaving, but you can find a way to find out if he is, in fact, a narcissist who wants to be respected and cherished, and you're expected to be perfect, and if you're not, you go to jail for as long as he wants you there. You
right.
see what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you tape recording us? People don't remember.
I'll be listening to it later.
It allows you to tape record. What?
Oh, I know, yeah. I always listen to the...
Yeah. Our shows are recorded and available for download.
Well, I'm just going to start the directions for the writing of the letter. Okay?
Perfect.
Okay. So paragraph one. Paragraph one is about him.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever way. What you like about him. And paragraph two is where you spill your beans. You tell him, I did this because of this. Go over your mistake.
Okay.
And be sure you say, I feel badly about it. And I know I won't do it again, but I feel badly about it. And then I don't
okay.
want to be in jail anymore because of my imperfection. And then give him an example. I wanted to go out with my friends and you got upset and does he ever remark about your sin?
Remark about it? Yeah, all the time. Well, yeah, when it's convenient.
So he does use it sometimes, but not always.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you think of one case in your mind that was particularly painful? Something about being in the doghouse or the jail, whatever, based on this imperfection.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Do you have something?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I want you to know that you're not going to read this on the air. You're going to call me at my phone number, which you can get from Kelly or from my office.
You can go and send an email to info@drpatallen.com and discuss with Sue setting an appointment.
Okay.
Perfect.
My business phone, you can call through and I will listen to to your letter, but I cannot do it on the air.
Gotcha.
Okay. So great. The first paragraph is the situation. No, that's second. The first one is what you have liked before you did your crime, so to speak. What he does that you really like. Stroke him, stroke him, stroke him. The second paragraph is your guilt and shame at having made that mistake. Your third paragraph is, I don't want to be in jail anymore about this unless you have to divorce me or abandon me.
Okay.
Let him know that you are not willing to live in a dog, in a jail or a doghouse any longer. When is it that you did your, quote, crime?
Well, it's, like, been ongoing because the guy just called me out of the blue yesterday. Which
what did your
I didn't
dad
initiate.
Say?
Oh, no, he, what? The guy that he was fighting about with me called me yesterday out of the blue. And
well,
that's
no,
what brought
he didn't
it up
call
then.
You out of the blue. He called
right.
you out of the red. You know what red is?
Uh-huh.
The bottom.
Yeah,
chakra.
And it was right in the middle. It was right when we were in the middle of a fight, too, on another fight. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is, like, the worst timing for this phone call. And then it made it sound bad because I was, like, upset on the phone call. And he thought it was reflective of my, I had still had feelings for him and I didn't want to tell him no.
So do you see that this is now impacting, that's a psychopathic maneuver.
Oh, really?
You were going dingy because of that. Yes or no?
Yeah, that's why I'm calling. I'm so confused by what's going on with this. So that's what it is.
You cannot
live. That?
What?
Would you mind explaining that?
I'm explaining it. That is, if you stay in that doghouse for the rest of your life, you're going to be wacko. You're going to have Alzheimer's 25.
Right.
You can't live well on cortisol.
That's very true.
You know, I'm going to put in here, just because I'm going to do it anyway, the 7 rules for living nicely promised in the Bible. Are you Christian, Jewish? What are you?
Buddhist, actually.
You're what?
Buddhist.
I didn't hear that.
She's a Buddhist.
Oh, you're a Buddhist. I
yes,
lectured at
thank
Buddhist
you,
places. And here's 7 rules for living well that I wrote into my thing. Make peace with your past so it does not ruin your future.
Mm-hmm.
Got that?
Yeah.
What others think of you is none of your business.
I love that.
The only person in charge of my happiness is me.
True.
Don't compare my life with others. Comparison is the theft of joy.
Oh. Very true.
Time heals almost everything. Give it time. How many years have you been with him?
Almost 1 year.
Okay. Stop thinking too much. It's all right not to know all the answers. That's why you call this show.
Yeah.
Smile. You don't own all the problems in the world. So writing a hi-bye amends letter is going to say what you need to say to give him an opportunity to realize that you're not going to tolerate it anymore.
Right.
So step number one is everything you liked about him and still do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize love is accepting people as they are, agape love? People say, oh, we love each other. We're lusting each other. I say, yeah, but do you like each other? No. I pay more attention to liking than loving or even lusting because it's approval mm-hmm. in spite of imperfection. Got that?
Right. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So with that in mind, what was I talking about?
Oh, you were just about to go over the four paragraphs, just summarizing them.
Okay, what was I going to do?
To go over the four paragraphs.
Paragraph two. Yeah, paragraph
right.
two.
My hearing aid's giving me fits. Anyway.
Paragraph two of the hi-bye letter.
That's what?
Paragraph two of the hi-bye letter.
Oh, the hi-bye letters. Oh, God bless you. Okay. The second paragraph is the pain of the doghouse. Got that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The third is I don't want to be in the doghouse. How can I get out? Can I go on quarantine for a year? I just got out of quarantine with my family. I decided to go to a wedding of a client. You know what I mean? And I did
yeah.
everything. I did everything. But I went to this, and my daughter, who's a super nurse at Scripps, put me on quarantine, and I loved it.
Oh.
I loved it because I deserved it, and I knew that I was going to get out of it. So what we're doing here is getting you out of quarantine.
Okay.
So first paragraph, what you like about him. Second paragraph, the pain of your mistake. Third paragraph, I don't want to be in jail doghouse anymore. And the fourth paragraph is, what can I do to finish being in jail?
Okay.
And then the fifth paragraph is, if I'm still in jail and feel entrapped, I can't stay in this marriage. I can't get married. I can't
okay.
live on cortisol.
Right.
And I don't want you to send it to him until you call my office, get my number, and read it to me.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay. So do you understand now? What was your question when you started?
Well, my initial question was just understanding in a relationship how narcissism operates, especially in a codependent relationship, and how do you know you're in one?
Do you know why and how you got there?
I'm starting to understand it, but I'm still unpacking that.
And is he making peace? The first rule of life is make peace with your past so it does not ruin your future. Is he doing something?
Right.
No. And you know why? Because you're not doing your half of it. You see, nobody's worth marrying. We're all imperfect. But both of you are still living. You're living in the guilt of not being perfect. And there it is. Your dad pops up with evidence even more. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you understand that what I've just given you is a way to read to a therapist your letter of amends so you can give it to a man who's tolerating you, which is a clear sign of narcissism, sociopathic, and psychopathic personality problems.
Right.
There's three kinds of relationships: convenient, codependent, and covenant. A convenient one is where you each share gifts and responsibilities. Do you see?
Right.
The codependent one is somebody who has such lack of self-esteem that the other person can own them.
Mm-hmm.
And the, pardon?
Oh, I just said, yeah.
And the third one used to be legal. Legally, when you got married in Louisiana, Arizona, Minnesota, and Michigan, in my book, Staying Married and Loving It, it describes a covenant relationship. You'd call it the traditional relationship, where one person is a breadwinner and one person is a homemaker. Got it?
Right.
Except that in Louisiana, Arizona, Minnesota, and Michigan, up till about 5-6 years ago, you could literally get assigned like a marriage license, only it would be a covenant marriage in which a person signed that they would pay the bills for this family as long as there was a family. And the other person would take care of the home. That's a covenant.
Right.
People don't know that. Now the only state that has that is Louisiana. Okay?
Mm. Right.
So did you get a way to handle, confront his narcissism?
Yes, thank you. That was really, really helpful. That was everything I needed and more. I really appreciate that, Pat.
Good. You know what? Today I'm going to talk more than I listen. My mouth works better than my ears today. But I'm going to the audiologist, and God willing, he'll fix it. Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Excellent, excellent information, Dr. Allen. I love it. And so I believe we've got more calls coming in. So our wonderful Ronan switchboard, always wonderful in getting us our calls in.
Good. I will not take that long with everybody, but it was a new subject, and I just had to open on it.
Oh, I think you're doing great, and I think we need to do exactly what we need to do with each individual and not cut it short. That's how
okay.
I look at it. So,
good.
Let's see what's shaking with our switchboard, our wonderful Ronan.
So what are we doing now?
I believe he's getting us.
Hi, you've reached Delvico. Please leave a message.
Oh, hey, listen, guys. When we call you back, you may not recognize a number, but please pick up because we want to talk to you, not your voicemail. So he's going to reach out again to another caller. And if you're in our queue, just wait for it. And hi, Kelly, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Yes. Hi. That last call was super. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
That last call was really helpful, and basically what I'm also calling about. My narcissistic, passive aggressive, sociopath, based on your description.
Okay.
Just now.
There's a book out there by some. I'm looking for the book in the bookshelf. Women Who Love Narcissists, Psychopaths, Sociopaths. There's actually a book on it.
I have it. And, it's right here next
to
me.
Oh, you have it. Look at the author, would you please?
Look at Sandra L. Brown.
How do you spell that?
Sandra?
Sandra, yeah. Okay, Sandra?
L. Brown is the last name.
Spell it, please.
Brown is in the color brown. B-R-O-W-N.
Okay, good. Great.
Yeah.
Sandra Brown. That's good enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thank you. You saved me right now. So what are you asking me?
We've called you several times. I'm Michelle, and my partner was Gerardo. And turns out, I've always had this feeling he was cheating on me, and I just felt like I was trying to, pull him to doing your work and using your tools to the best of my ability. But I just found out recently.
No, I want to ask you a question. Did your dad cheat on your mother?
Constantly.
Pardon?
Yes. Yes, a lot.
Do you understand? Have you ever heard the term second class Auschwitz? Do you know that people who have been through Auschwitz literally carry the energy to their children who look like they've been to Auschwitz? And what I'm hearing from you is that you became extremely sensitive about men screwing around on their wives. Because that's what your dad did.
Yeah. And
so
and it's,
how many relationships have you ruined with your lack of trust?
I feel like I'm the codependent in every relationship, but I'd say five. To answer your question, five relationships have ended. And I believe they've all been liars and cheaters. But in this case, my mom went to pick up my stuff in the morning after I broke them, and obviously they had spent the night together. They answered the door together and helped my mom pack up my things. And this was literally just the night before. I left the day before. So I don't know. I can't think of any more proof than that. The day before, he went to her house for brunch, and I made him a big breakfast.
I understand that, dear. How long were you married to him that he got that confident?
We were engaged for 8 months.
You were engaged 8 months. How long did it take you to reject him?
I don't know. I feel like he'd been cheating on me the entire relationship.
I understand that. But how long did you know it before you acted on it?
When the very first month we were together, we were in Paris, and I saw a text from his ex-girlfriend asking him to meet. And then he had another woman, this woman who he slept with recently, pick him up from the airport from our trip.
So you've known he's doing it ever since you've known him, practically.
Yeah. Yes. And I tried desperately to and he paid for me to do EMDR sessions and to get over my trust issues and to believe him. And
he literally paid you to go to the latest form of trauma therapy, which is TMS, transcranial electromagnetic stimulation. It's like EMDR for the brain. EMDR is for the mind, which the mind lives in the brain. Has the TMS helped you?
It's EMDR he paid for, the sessions. And it helped me, it did help me a lot. But at the, it's weird that he was, like, inflicting the trauma while telling me to get help for it. Like, telling me I'm
darling,
crazy.
That's what sociopaths do. Psychopaths do that. Whoa, you're crazy, but I'm going to pay you to go to therapy. Because I know most therapy doesn't work.
Oh, well, that's exactly
I want you to know that a narcissist, read the book by Sandra Brown, Women Who Love, Narcissists, Sociopaths, Psychopaths. Have you read it yet?
It's sitting here with me right now. Yeah, I'm working my way through it.
You are working. Are you learning anything?
Yeah.
But I want, I mentioned it last week, I think.
Yeah. So I desperately want to never have a relationship like this again. And this is every relationship
but
I've ever
known.
But
do you understand that your father brought the energy into the house and you loved him?
Yeah.
And love is acceptance. It's rationalizing. Oh. It's making excuses. You
so
have
you...
no idea how second stage neurosis or second stage psychosis is brought in. Who brings it in for the daughters? Daddy.
Yeah.
Who brings it into the house for the sons? Mother. And you know what? I want to say something to you, and you can say the truth or not. Were you nicer to your dad than your mother?
My dad. And
you
my grandpa.
What?
I hate my dad and my grandpa. I loved them, and I hated my mom and my grandma. I hated the
do
women.
You know,
and I loved
do you know
them.
Why? Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because you could not afford to hate your dad or your grandpa because they were your grandpa and your dad. You knew your mother would live whether you hated her or loved her.
That's true.
But you didn't know. You didn't know. Did your mother ever divorce him?
Yes, and he died.
And he died. Yeah, I know. And do you realize he was raised poorly by his mother? Was it his mother that was the grandma you didn't like?
No, his parents, he was adopted. His parents.
Oh,
he
okay. How old was he when he was adopted?
I'm guessing super, super young, but like probably 5 or 6.
Years old or months?
Yeah.
Did he live in foster care? Did he live in foster care?
Yeah, probably.
Do you know the most important days in a baby's life? The first three.
Yes.
The first three. They've done studies of jail time versus college time. The adoption phenomenon of the child that was raised, you know, in a foster home is totally much worse than a child that if it was adopted out of the hospital by somebody that took some jammies from mom, that sang the song she sang. If an adoptive mother can duplicate the mother physically, mostly by clothing, because it smells, and kids smell mommy and daddy. But all babies need, let me say this, Dan Siegel, who is a wonderful child research psychiatrist here in Los Angeles. What city are you in?
I'm in the Bay Area.
Okay. Well, he wrote a book, Parenting from the Inside Out. What is the name of the soul of a girl? You know?
Animus.
Animus. U.S. is male. The animus. A girl has a girl's body, but she has a male soul. A boy has a male body, but a girl's soul. What's the girl's name? The anima. So in the first 3 days after birth, that baby girl and that baby boy have to be cuddled, touched, nurtured, or it wounds them. It wounds them.
Yeah, I understand. My parents are deeply traumatized and wounded, and both very severe addicts of multiple kinds. So they've suffered and inflicted a lot of trauma.
I know. So the book is called Raising Kids from the Inside Out. He also wrote one for teenagers. Do you know that from 12 to 18, kids, teenagers, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, they don't produce enough dopamine to be happy? It's nature's way of kicking them out of the nest. So when you think your teenager is a unique, they're not. The book on this is called Dan Siegel, and it's called Brainstorms. You've been listening to me, haven't you?
I have been listening to you.
Okay.
I wish knowing your work would make the trauma go away or make my decisions better, but I still need I feel like I need a lot of help.
Okay. What you're saying is you love men that remind you of your father and your grandfather's chemistry.
It sounds right, yeah.
Helen Fisher wrote a book, Why Him, Why Her? And it doesn't go into the detail that I'm going into, but chemistry, pheromones. How long does it take for a man or a woman to feel chemistry for a man or a woman they're meeting? How long does it take?
3 seconds.
3 minutes maximum.
Oh, okay.
Do you understand that you have to realize that your nervous system picks the men you're interested in by the pheromones they put off? So
is it possible
you cannot, you, I want you to promise to never have, are you married now?
No.
Are you married or in a relationship?
No, I'm not married, and I just left the cheater I was with.
Okay, so you just, I want you, raise your right hand, please.
Okay, it's up.
I promise.
I promise.
On my honor.
On my honor.
I will never put or allow a penis in my mouth.
I will never put or allow a penis in my mouth.
Anus.
Anus.
Or vagina.
Or vagina.
Unless I have a promise ring on my left hand.
Unless I have a promise ring on my left hand. And I did do that with this last guy. I got the ring and the engagement. I followed all your tools, but he still was a cheater.
Then I want you to know you may not. Oh, did I teach you this already?
Yeah, you helped me. You helped me.
Did you?
Far more.
I want to ask you, did you let that penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina before you got a ring on that finger? Yes or no?
No.
What?
No, I did not.
You waited until you had it.
Yes, I did. I followed your rules exactly as I.
And you want
them.
To know something? That's why nature speaks. I'm going to raise the promise ring up to an engagement ring with a wedding date.
For me? Or for?
Yes.
In general.
For you.
Okay. Okay.
You know
why?
Weed
them out a little better.
Because your dad and your grandfather obviously put out powerful pheromones.
Yeah, they did.
Well, I want to counteract that by raising the promise ring to an engagement ring with a wedding date planned.
Okay. I feel pretty worthless at this point. Like.
Oh, no. This guy, you're done with him. This is your last one of these.
Right. I blocked him on every way I can block him so he can't
God
call me
love
ever.
You. God love you. God love you. What
yeah,
happened
doing...
was I didn't give you the highest price tag. I now realize your body picks your men way over your brain.
Yeah, that's true.
And I want you to understand that's a scientific problem. In America, we're not paying attention to science anymore. But I read Science Magazine. You know that the science organization have voted after 175 years, they've withstood the support for Biden. The Science Magazine.
Yeah.
You see what that says?
What?
It says, science is God's message to humankind. And I underscored you when I told you a promise ring and your pathology found a man that would do the promise ring.
Yeah, while cheating.
While cheating. That's what they do. Now right. I've raised the price tag. Do you see, within 9 to 12 months, you know a human being. So
yeah,
why
I
don't
know
you
him
make
fully
it a...
Well.
What?
Yes, I learned the hard way, but I at least...
I know that,
your...
but I want you not to have intercourse with a new man for a year without...
Okay.
A promise without an engagement ring and a wedding date.
Okay, I'll do it. I did all your last tools.
Pardon?
I said I followed you to the best of my ability last time, and I can do it this time, too.
You know what?
This was,
go for
this was
it. I underestimated your gene pool. But I will say that within 1 year, you will know if this is a good, virtuous man.
Okay. All right.
Sorry about the underestimation.
That's not your fault. I just appreciate you so much already. No apology necessary. I'm going to keep calling and guys.
That's perfect. And I will watch more carefully for women that don't have high test hormonal teaching cells that signal them that daddy's back. You see? Because that's what happened to you. So thank you for upgrading my information.
Thanks, Dr. Pat. I look forward to the rest of your talk.
Good. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, caller.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Well, Dr. Allen, we have developed a theme. Definitely, definitely. I said we've developed a theme once again with our show. And sometimes, hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Well, good evening.
What is it?
Dr. Pat Allen, I'm such a fan of yours. I recommend all your books to my friends. I'm also a young therapist.
Thank
I'm in my late 20s. And your book has been amazing for my dating life. So I'm 26. I'm dating this great guy, following your book to the T.
Oh, good.
And I love it. And I'm like, your book has been awesome. But the issue
are you using my tools?
Yes. Yes. Especially as a therapist. Like, it makes so much sense. Like, I love your book.
Oh, you're a therapist? So
Yes, LMHC.
That's wonderful. I love it when I hear that my colleagues are using anything that I have discovered and passed on. So what are you asking me today?
I'm dating this guy. It's only been maybe a month and a half, and things have been great.
You're in the first cycle. Remember? Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Yes. Yes, and I've never been with a man so mature. I mean, he's taking me out to resorts. I never take out my wallet. I feel very cherished. But in the past 2 weeks,
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, but in the past 2 weeks, there's been a change. He's like really stressed. He's in the Navy, so he's really stressed out about his orders, like where they'll ship him. And the texting is okay, but I just feel a difference. Like the last 2 weeks, I get a good morning text, but I don't get an emoji. He doesn't call me like every night like he used to. All my friends say, he's, you're overthinking.
What you're saying is, welcome to the imperfect period.
That's what he's like. And he,
I want you to know that courtship has men gushing over us if they love us. But then they go back. Is he a man with a career or a career man?
Career man. He's in the Navy, but he's very entrepreneurial. He has like 3 businesses. He owns a house. He's 27.
I've got news for you, dear. Welcome to reality. You're speaking of the imperfect period.
So early?
This is the imperfect period when you see him not gushing, not courting.
Okay. Okay.
Raise your right hand, please.
Okay, I'm raising it.
I promise. To respect my former gushing boyfriend.
To respect my former gushing boyfriend.
Even when he's less than now, but I don't have to call the police, a medical doctor, or a lawyer to sue him.
for a lawyer to sue him.
Because he's 51% valuable to me.
Yes, because he's 51% valuable to me.
Now I want you to tell me what that 1% is, because it's keeping you with the normal man who is not doing it your way now.
Yeah, I would say the 51%, you know, it's been consistent. When I say I don't feel comfortable, I've been trying to use your words because I'm not as emotional. So like even saying like, oh, I don't feel comfortable when you say you're going to call me, you don't call me. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to try better to communicate. So for me, like integrity is everything.
I understand that. Is he got integrity? Does he make and keep his agreements?
Yes.
Is that
I just miss the, I'm not going to lie. I just miss the attention. And I know it sounds so bad.
I got news for you, dear. Do you normally pick feminine men?
No. I usually go for masculine and very generous, very like old-fashioned kind of.
Have you ever been married?
No, I'm 26. He's been married, and that's another thing that has me, like, he got divorced when he was 23. We live in the South, so, you know, in the South, they get married very young. And I've never been with a man that was married before.
Okay. Have you ever lost, you ever lost a man you wish you hadn't lost? Because it sounds like. Was your mother masculine? Did she run the household?
I would say so. I would say so. My dad was also masculine, too.
So
my mom is very beautiful.
Masculine.
So she has, like, yeah. My mom is, like, very, very beautiful. Like, people, like, fall over her.
So do you understand that your house was full of respect? But not cherishing.
But I felt like my dad cherished me a lot. Like when I don't get
That's
cherished,
wonderful.
Something feels off. Yeah.
Do you have any brothers?
Yes. I have two brothers. I'm the oldest though. So.
Are the brothers masculine or feminine?
One is masculine, one is feminine.
Fine. Do you understand that your masculinity needs a feminine man?
Really? I don't think I do good, though. I prefer, and I feel like I'm very traditional. Like, I don't mind.
Yes, but what I'm saying is your dad was feminine with you. Was
yeah.
he feminine with his wife? Or did he
no.
respect her?
I don't feel like he was feminine with my mom. I felt like he
okay.
set the standard in a sense of like, you know, you should be well taken care of. Like you, like he just set the bar, self-esteem. Like the part in your book where you said self-love is the ability to say no. Like, I think that's very much like, I think I believe in that.
I believe in that too, except courtship standards are less than, and you're following the no intercourse unless monogamous, continuous, and long-term, right?
Yes.
You don't have intercourse unless you're in a commitment.
Yes.
Okay. Do you understand that a man courting is fun?
Yes, I can see that.
Do you know that mistresses get spoiled more than wives do?
Yes, from what I've heard from other people, yes.
Okay, so do you understand that your standard of imperfection may be too high for a good man who needs to be a career man to make the money, to make you happy and secure? Will you please tell me one reason you will stay with him when you're bored? What did he do? I'll tell
Alan, you are so good. You are so good. Oh, this is so I would say his pattern, like, I'm not even going to lie. Like, I could see him being a great husband, a great father. And if I have to be bored a little bit, then okay.
I want to tell you, my last and authentic husband, I had four of them. They're dead now.
Mm-hmm.
But my last husband taught me more. He went to that bitch's seminars, Pat Allen, and learned all her stuff and used them on me.
Wow.
And he was tough. Jeepers. And the interesting thing about him was that when I hated him for being more manly than I was at the time, this is years ago,
mm-hmm.
I would remember. We lived in his house, and he had two oriental rugs and two antique desks that I could not even think of taking my paintings away from.
Yes, that ties into the 51%, I'm guessing.
That made him, because he used my work on me to get me to respect him.
Mm.
And you want to know the technique he used? Whenever I would be disrespectful, whenever I would teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question without my tools, do you see? He would say, well, I'm going to go to my brother's house now, and you can write an essay on why you're with me and why you respect me and why you hate me for it. He would leave me. And I would have to write an essay about my work because I had been single. I'm just sharing with you that I'm a therapist, you're a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
You have a standard that says you keep me entertained or you're out. That's not the way marriages are built.
Yes.
You decide
Dr. Allen, you're so good.
When to have intercourse. That's when we marry with intercourse. They marry with documents. Do you understand?
Mm. Yeah.
Harvard did a test in the 90s. They asked 10,000 people crossing their campus, why did you mate? Why did you marry? Marriage is documented mating, and mating is undocumented marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two-thirds of men mate and marry, because I consider them equally valuable. Two-thirds of men mate and marry, monogamous, continuous, and long-term, based on sensuous and sexual gratification at home.
Yes.
One-third of men mate and marry for status and financial security. My wife is the daughter of blah, 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 who owns blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
He's the woman, which I have no problem with. I do not mind men that are women. And I do not mind women that are men. I just want to know which you are. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now listen,
I have
listen
a question.
To women. What?
Okay. Oh, I had a question that you just kind of reminded me of. But what's the fine line between saying your needs and then, like, as a feminine woman, not asking for more love, affection, and time?
What are you speaking of? Sex, or what are you talking about?
No, just like the silly romantic stuff.
No, one moment. I've got to say what women mate and marry for.
Okay.
Women mate and marry for status. Mrs. So-and-so. Mm-hmm. And financial stability.
Yes.
Stability. She may be making more money.
That is very important to me. Yeah.
One third of women called cougars mate and marry younger men when they're in their 50s and 60s for mm-hmm. sensual and sexual stability.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's nature. Now, the question you're asking is, ask it again so it triggers that part of my library.
Yes. Thinking about what's the fine line between saying your needs, like for me, like I miss the goodnight calls. I miss the like.
Wait a minute.
You know.
Do you know my tools? Wait a minute. Do you know
yes,
my
I do.
Five tools? Okay. Tool number two. When you want to ask for what you think, want, opinion, suggestion, ideas, you have to make an appointment with him for the subject and the convenient hearing. Honey, I
yes.
have a question I want to ask you. I want to give a suggestion what we're going to do next Christmas. Whatever it is, you must make an appointment for the subject matter in the first part of the question and convenience in timing to listen to you. Do you hear that?
Yes. Yeah.
And then...
Well, I kind
when,
of did that.
Yes. And what happened?
I kind of did that on... It was very good. We talked. I said, hey,
are
you
in
know,
business?
I know.
Do you do business with your boyfriend?
No, he wants to because he's an entrepreneur. But I'm like, I like being a counselor.
Okay,
you're
you
not
want
my husband,
more of a covenant.
Like,
you want more. You
yes.
want more of a covenant. And don't forget to read "Staying Married and Loving It" by me. That's
yes,
where
I have it in my Amazon.
Covenant. What?
I have that book. I have that book to read. Staying Married and Loving It. And I like your book is like I have seven of my friends. We have a book club. And I reread the book for them because they're like, oh, my God, I see your dating life. You look so happy. And I'm like, Dr. Pat Allen, man.
Okay. I appreciate what you're saying. I really do. But what you do when you're going to teach, preach, pitch, vote, or question, make an appointment for the subject and ask him if he's interested in helping you feel better by doing this or that. The second tool, and by the way, right now, Kelly, would you please tell the audience how they can listen to that free training?
Yes, go to drpatallen.com and you'll see the link down there to watch that communication relationship video free right now. Absolutely fantastic. You've got to watch www.drpatallen.com.
Will do.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
So you cannot walk up and say, I want, you can't teach, raise your right hand. I promise.
On my honor.
To teach,
never.
Preach, bitch, moan, or question my boyfriend.
To teach, preach, bitch, moan, question my boyfriend.
Unless I have an appointment. For the subject. And the date time for the convenience.
And the date time for the convenience.
That's how you do it, dear. And then the fifth tool is the nonverbal version of the second tool. Remember timeout?
Mm-hmm.
Timeout is for when you're afraid that you'll slip into masculine mother and you don't want to do that. So give him a physical sign by making a timeout that a referee makes with his hands. And he says, what are you doing? I'm signaling you that I'm uncomfortable about something you're saying or something you're doing. Are you interested mm-hmm. in knowing what would help me feel better?
Okay.
So the second tool and the fifth tool, one is verbal time setting, and the other one is visual, physical demonstration with time out. If you're on the phone, say time out.
Time out.
Yes.
Time out. I think that's important.
What are you saying?
I think the only thing.
What?
No, I think the only thing like I'm working on now is just to try and be supportive because he's going through a hard time at work. And I noticed like as soon as like that happened, like the affection kind of went down. So I'm trying to like what you said, like be patient.
That sounds like you must not mother a man. You can mother a boy, but you can't mother a man.
Okay, so let him go through the hard time at work by himself.
No, dear, you will say to him, what do you think about your job? What do you think? How's it going? What's it doing? Don't mother his feelings. You inadvertently disrespect him. And don't you dare forget the fourth tool. I sense by the look of your face or your body language or your gesture or your posturing that you seem upset to me. Am I right? Yes. Or
yes.
No.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot that one.
You know what? That's a deadly big one.
Yes.
If he doesn't say, listen to me, dear. If he doesn't say yes or no, you say, you have every right not to say yes or no, but a non-answer is a negative answer. What can I do to help you and I do better in this situation? Do you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Always say, what can I do to help you and I do better?
I love that. Oh, my. I forgot about that one. That's so good.
Okay. Honey, do you understand that your Broca, your Broca's in your left hemisphere, has been printed? That's why TMS, transcranial electromagnetic stimulation, is now to undo the damage of a miswired Broca. Are you hearing me?
Yes, Dr. Allen.
Thank you. Tool number one, never ask him what he feels unless he's puking or bleeding. Have you got that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tool number two, you must make an appointment for the subject, painful subject, and the convenience it would cause in his world to listen to you. And ultimately, mm-hmm. what can I do to help you and I do better in this situation? You can always ask him that. The third tool, he's irritated you, but it isn't something you have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer for. And you say to him, you had every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that, but I'm uncomfortable with it. Are you interested in what I would be more comfortable with? No. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you want it, just ask me and I'll teach you. All right, what is it? I really was uncomfortable when you told that joke at the party that embarrassed me. Are you willing not to do that, please? What do you mm-hmm. think about what I'm asking? Okay. You see?
Yeah.
Now, the fourth tool, 90% communication, which is negotiation, which is seduction with guilt and shame. Intimidation is not negotiation. Negotiation is love. Those are the five tools that got me my doctoral. Androgynous semantic mm-hmm. realignment. Do you understand? And Science Magazine just came out with the scientific evidence for my work. It doesn't say me, but some other people are studying this aspect. Do you understand? Syntax with semantics. Isn't that wonderful?
That is awesome. And it's funny, I'm also a researcher. I'm like a therapist and I'm going to grad school, so I'll definitely be reading.
Are you interested? Shall I go in the other room and get the magazine so you have it?
Sure. I mean, if you have the name of the article, that'd be great, or the research.
I'm going right now. I'm doing it right now.
Okay. I'm really nerdy. We're the same person.
Honey, you're not nerdy. You've just been around Pat Allen too much. My phone is doing bad things to me. Let's see. Where are you? I'm going to dump all my magazines on the floor. Done like a true woman. Here it is. Okay, it's Science Magazine, and mm-hmm. it is the volume for October 4th, 2019, mm-hmm. and the front of the cover says Language and the Brain. Does that say something? And the article of research that backs, do you know that Einstein didn't have the factual scientific data for his work until he was old, and his brain had wilted a little bit, and he didn't believe he was that smart? Isn't that something?
Wow.
But he got it in the... What?
I just talk about self-efficacy, like believing in yourself.
That's right. Here's the article on page 62 of that magazine, this magazine, the review, mm-hmm. The Neural Basis of Combinatory Syntax and Semantics. Now, that doesn't sound like my doctoral, but I changed my doctoral title to Androgynous. Yeah, that's similar, but it's more technical. Mm-hmm. Androgynous mm-hmm. Semantic Syntax Realignment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hyphenating the word syntax and semantics so it can be seen as one word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just to do it. So do you understand I'm a therapist just like you, only I have to remember to be a fake beta. Fake beta.
Me too.
Okay.
Me too. But I thank you so much, Dr. Allen. I thank you so much. Like, I'm so happy. Like, your tools, like, it's one thing to read it, but when I actually started using it, and then obviously he came into my life, and we did COVID. We did like social distance dating through video, and then it ended up. So like, hopefully I call back with a testimony. Fingers crossed.
Okay. Please do. I enjoyed speaking with you.
Same. I'll continue listening to your work and advocating and following
it as well.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
You have a good one. Bye.
Thank you, caller.
Wash your hands.
Exact. Communicate effectively and wash your hands.
Some important stuff.
You don't know, wash your hair, too,
is.
Of course.
It is. I just did.
Reach the voicemail box of 818.
Oh, callers. Pick up those phones.
Do we have anybody left on the phone?
Yeah, you know what's going on is one of our callers didn't pick up. So our fantastic running at the switchboard is working it, and he's going to get us another caller. He's several waiting, so we shouldn't have a problem. He's just got to dial him up and get a hold of him for us.
That's fine.
That was a great conversation.
Fine. You know, I found out the secret of a bad ear.
What's that?
You know what it is? Talk more.
What is it? Oh, I love it. It's funny because
hi, you've reached over the last 2 weeks. Please.
Okay, callers. Pick him up. Yeah, over the last 2 weeks, I've had something weird going on with my right ear as well. Maybe I'm having sympathetic ear issues with you.
God almighty. Anyway, I'm an audiologist who I love dearly.
Hello.
Because he's a nerd. Hello.
Oh, hi, Colin. Hi, with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
For you? What?
I do have a question. Hi, Dr. Pat. Hi, Kelly.
Okay, ask me your question.
Okay. I actually was calling in because, Dr. Pat, a year ago you inspired me to start my weight loss journey. You had talked about the importance of weight and stuff as far as attraction. So since last year, I've lost 40 pounds now, and I'm continuing.
Hallelujah. I weighed 118 this morning. 35 Yay. Years ago, I weighed 205. I'm 5'1". Oh, God bless you. How are you doing with your new lifestyle?
I'm doing good. I attracted a boyfriend, but I called in a couple weeks ago. We did break up, but I'm looking to, as I lose weight, maybe attract, you know, some more guys. And what I was wondering is, Dr. Pat, does your weight play a part in the types of men that you attract? I heard that said, and I just wanted to know, do you think that that's true? Or do you just think that, like, how does weight factor in attraction, I guess? I just wanted to just get some more inspiration around it.
What does weight do?
Yeah.
It depends on if the man wants a woman, he uses his eyes. They've done research that rich men have thinner wives because thinner wives appeal to the eyes of a rich man.
Okay.
Now,
well, that would
with a what?
Nothing. I was just in awe of that. Please keep going.
I didn't hear that.
No, I said I was in awe of what you said about rich men and their aesthetically pleasing wives or women.
Yes, rich men want thin wives as demonstration models. That's the choice. Men that want loving homes go for women with weight. Because they know that woman is not just for sex, although women that have eating problems and drinking problems very often are exceedingly sexual. I was. Mm. But that got me into trouble because I would black out and end up divorced.
Mm.
You see?
Yeah.
The question is, we're all trying to get laid or paid. Mm-hmm. People that are trying to get paid need to be cherished. People who are trying to get laid, did I say laid or paid a minute ago?
Paid.
People
are paid.
Yeah. They want to be with men that require them to be in good physical health because they go to the gym and they go to the whatever and they're living. But men that want a loving family very often will take a thin girlfriend and fatten her up. My husband, who I had the four daughters with, would buy me donuts all the time and then gripe about me being overweight.
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you are going for someone for status and security. Am I right or not? You want a man to respect.
I do. And my last boyfriend, he was more, you know, he was the most loving man ever, but that was an issue between us.
Loving is not it. Why did you split up?
We split up because the 50-50. Do you remember me? The 50-50 conversation. He wanted to go 50-50 all of a sudden and changed his mind.
Oh.
Yeah.
He wanted a 50-50 relationship of equality?
Yes. And it started out.
And that's too competitive. Did you find that out?
Yes. So I'm in the 8-week period right now waiting. So we'll see. But in the meantime, I'm continuing to wait. And so I've come down from, oh my goodness, Dr. Pat, so I'm 5'7", 5'6", and I was 240. And I came down to, I'm 203 today. So I weighed in at 203. And my goal.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. My goal weight is 145. So, and I was there. I've been there before. So I'm excited. And so I just want to say thank you, Dr. Pat. I checked out the overeaters and not the group you told me about. So they helped me out a lot to help me drop these first 40 pounds. So now I'm working on the next 50. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Pass the message on as much as you can.
I will. So I'll keep you all posted. Thanks so much.
Good.
Thank you, caller. Bye.
Okay, thank you.
So much fun. Okay, I believe we've got more caller lined up. Let's double check. Talking to our switchboard. And
this show all right, ends at 10:02.
Yes, it does. And our wonderful Ronan is telling me right now he is working on getting us another caller. Yes, our show does. It ends at 5:50, essentially. So,
okay.
It's all good. But right now, clock on the wall is telling me it's 5:38. So we got a few minutes. And I know he's working hard there and getting it all together for us.
Kelly, would you give a commercial for me doing scripts and dreams?
Yes, I would love to. I know I've said this to you before. Some of you keep reaching out to me, and I think you're reaching out to our social media pages. So I'm going to tell you this. Dr. Allen is only semi-retired, and she's still doing telephone consultations, taking telephone appointments. You reach out via email to info@drpatallen.com. What's really exciting and really special is that Dr. Allen does a couple of appointments that are just so amazing. The first one is Life Scripts. Now, that is a very intense appointment. You're going to get paperwork when you reach out to Sue Wagner, info@drpatallen.com, to fill out first so that Dr. Allen has it to go over your script with you. It's an amazing, enlightening growth experience that I've done it 3 times with Dr. Allen. It's unmatched. And I've also been blessed enough to be able to have Dr. Allen read several of my dreams, also incredibly enlightened by this experience. I totally urge you to do what she says, set your alignment. Have that notepad next to your bed, write that dream down, and book an appointment, info@drpatallen.com, to have her read your dream. It is so amazing. And she just has it on lock. Every little nuance you can imagine, boom, she's got it. You know, like all of Jen's, you're like, wow, was I? You know, she asked me the first time, were you barefoot or did you have on shoes? And I thought, wow. And I thought about the dream. I was barefoot. And so, I mean, there's all these little nuances that she goes through with you with your dream. It is so amazing. It is so.
One of my students for years, Patricia Eltish, has written a book based on what she learned from me called Dream Class. So Patricia Eltinge, Eltinge. So that's,
yes.
If you want to read a book.
It's a great book too. So, we
Do
love
we
it.
Have
I
somebody?
Mean, he's still working on that. I think some of our callers, we got their voicemail. I think he's a little trepidous to call them back because we don't want their names on the air.
I got it. Okay. What else can we tell them about?
Well, one of the questions that a lot of people have, and you went over the highlight letter today, which I think is so interesting how you are able to look at a situation that a person is having and then encourage them to write the high by letter. Like you were talking about this woman being in the doghouse, feeling like she needed to make amends, and setting her up to write that letter that isn't kicking him to the curb or her running away. It's moving toward a solution. And I thought it was so amazing how you just boom on the fly go, I'm going to take my high by letter and I am going to mold it to comport with the issue that this woman was having. And
yes,
I thought it was brilliant, just brilliant, because, you know, a lot of times people get off by that term high by letter, but
yes,
you know, it can actually be
in her case.
Go ahead.
It was high. We used to be friends, and now I'm in the doghouse, and I don't like it.
So exactly, that's
all of my work. All of my work is created to help people in pain resolve their issue with respect and cherishing.
Yes,
I teach fighting.
I know, but you teach fair fighting. You know, it's not like a cockfight or a dog fight. It's like fighting right. I can't think of any other way to say it, but just fighting right. And I love how you get them to come to the place of, are they ready to go to crisis?
Yes, yes.
Are you ready to
ever fight with anyone unless you are anchored in your own integrity? For women, women must stay away from doing things that doesn't allow them to feel good about themselves. Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. Men get what they want by having the courage to go after it. Now, women
yes.
that are castrated, they don't say what they don't want. They constantly go masculine and fight for what they want. But I'm telling you, men were born with 21 genes attached to their sperm cells that are devoted to intuition and fighting. And we women, we follow our instincts for dopamine fun, serotonin tranquilizing, and norepinephrine. Get away from this. Say no. It's very interesting. Science has the message. And I teach what I teach based on the science of being human.
I love that. And it's evident and apparent when you do. And one of the other things I really love that you talked about is how this applies for everything. It applies for on the job. It applies for friendships. It applies in romance. It even applies parent-child.
It particularly applies to parent-child, because that's the first lesson children learn empirically is language. First one. But do you know that very few people ever think about their language because it isn't empirically valuable till they're 3 years old? Do you see?
Yeah, and it's true. What's interesting for me is my grandson right now is 4 years old.
God,
and I know he is in this period of what I call negotiation / now a tantrum. And so
yes, that's both his right and left. Is he right or left-handed?
Right, he's ambidextrous.
He has a larger corpus callosum. He, like women, Einstein, Picasso, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Paul McCartney, Frank Sinatra, Thomas Jefferson, four to five of the presidents and nice vice presidents, left-handed men, ambidextrous men, biologically gay men, and every woman have a larger bridge fibrous between their right feeling lobe and their left feeling lobe. You can think of it in these terms. The left lobe is Republican and the right lobe is Democratic.
Oh, oh help. It's an internal fight. And it's funny
and
because he
a new science, and there's a new science magazine out that's talking about what I just said.
Yeah, you were telling
me that. Think,
I
don't think I have trouble if I go in the other room. No, this just came. I didn't talk to you about this, Kelly.
Oh, okay.
Do I have time?
So he's at that stage. Oh, okay.
I'm going to get it right now. Right now. Here
perfect.
I go. Okay.
So at that stage of he'll come in and he'll negotiate and then I will say
yes, and
I'm
then
sorry
he'll have a temper tantrum. He'll go from his right lobe in his brain to his left lobe in his brain.
Yeah, and you I'll did? Say no, we're not going to negotiate like that right now. Here's the price tag. Either you pick up your toys or we're not doing this. That's your price.
Exactly right. That's
and
exactly
he'll come
right.
back and he'll say I picked up half my toys and I'm like, you haven't met the contract. You have to meet the contract. Fulfill the contract and we'll talk. He comes back.
Perfect.
I don't want to.
Here,
I said, yeah, it's okay.
Here is the new science magazine. It's September 4th. It is of this year. And the front page says, Democracy in Balance. It's a special issue. And the article that I was talking about, the right and left lobe, which plays to me, so I'm going to be working with this. Oh, it's a big article.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. So what could we say right now while I'm doing this?
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting because I'm a middle child, so I'm a natural negotiator. And so, of course, he comes in and he wants to negotiate with me. He thinks his contract is better than my contract.
Yeah, that's what's really, you know what I really love is when little kids, catch on to my work very fast. And it's interesting when the kids go into negotiating instead of tantrum building. It's very good.
He's at this weird apex where he'll negotiate, and finally the third time he gets frustrated because he doesn't get his way, then he'll go tantrum. And then I'm like, oh, well, here's the price of your tantrum. You have to leave my area and go into a different part of the area of the house because I don't want to listen to your tantrum. You go tantrum over there. I'm going to do this project that we were going to do together. And I'm doing it without you because you didn't fulfill your contract of picking up your toys. Oh, he gets so mad at me. I swear he could bite nails.
Well, would you know that I can't find the article, but it had the right and the left in there. So anyway, we'll talk about it another time.
Perfect. We're out of time. So we'll definitely talk about it next week.
Yep. We will do that. Okay.
Yeah. What have you got to say before we leave?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is a commitment you're willing to make and keep.
Exactly. Hey, everyone, we love you. We'll be back next week. You know where. Same bad time, same bad channel. Until then, wash your hands and be good. Bye-bye.
That's right. Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.